Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5. Medford. I am Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary and Shay Spillane.
Oh, yeah, you make fun of me and then you turn around and do the same thing.
We have been gone.
Medford.
We've been gone for 3 weeks. Medford. I know you missed us.
I don't know where I am.
As always, I want you to call in. You guys do too. You can call us at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-9636. Of course, it's that time for Did You Hear? The part of the show where we quiz each other on all those other stories that didn't make it at the top of the show.
We know now, by the way, exactly how much time it takes for us to completely lose the ability to do this program. 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
3 weeks away, we're useless.
That does a trio. Before, we would go off 1 week, and it would be a big mess.
Yeah.
All right, Whole Foods.
Where the ass is silent?
Yes.
Whole Foods.
Whole Foods. Where they spell they still sell asparagus water? can you still buy that there?
Shay doesn't have it, I will say that it is now where the Amazon is silent.
Yes.
Jeff Bezos spent $13.7 billion to pick up Whole Foods. This is good if you hate Whole Foods, because Whole Foods, as you know it, is done. It's over.
He wants to make it cheaper. He wants
Go get your asparagus water while you still can, because what's coming is the store run by robots, cheaper products, the whole organic thing. The reason he spent the money on this is because there are actually
only one of his own.
There are only three national supermarkets in the United States of America that have. There's four if you want to include Trader Joe's, but Trader Joe's doesn't have a lot of penetration.
I'm saying, I don't even really consider. I always think of Trader Joe's as like a specialty store.
Trader Joe's is fantastic. I love Trader Joe's.
They are a supermarket. That's what they do.
They're a super supermarket.
Yeah. And
they're very friendly there. But that's the thing. Even in very similar to Trader Joe's, they have a really good corporate culture.
Yeah.
Everybody that I know that has been in some sort of position at Whole Foods, whether it be in a baker, a cook, or corporate, says they have a very good program with their employees. They have the retention of people coming back.
Unfortunately, it doesn't make money.
And that, when I heard about Amazon buying it, I said, that is out the door.
Yes.
Now it's over.
Unfortunately, I'm not going to get my $15 salads that I like to get there.
So here's why I bought it. There are three national grocery chains in the United States. Target is one of them. Walmart is one of them, and Whole Foods is one of them. You're not buying Target or Walmart if you're Amazon, but $13.7 billion for Whole Foods is a steal if you have Jeff Bezos money.
And all the asparagus water you could want.
This is another...
partial to watermelon myself.
This is another front in the battle of Amazon to control all retail in the United States of America. There's one that came out late in the day today.
Which
hopefully
is
I'm not
terrifying, frankly.
Stealing something from either of you guys. Nike is now saying that they are going to stop selling their sneakers in stores, and they are going to sell them exclusively through Amazon.
Oh, my goodness.
So, Bezos is winning.
What's that game with the guy with the monocle?
Monopoly.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Is that the word?
Is it the Washington Post? Is that what it's called? The Washington Post?
You will see in very, very short time one of the largest seafood companies in the area now working with Amazon.
Oh, so of course.
All of the seafood that will be shipped out. I won't name said company.
Okay, because I love getting my fresh fish mailed to me.
No.
They actually have a really good shipping.
People
are crazy, and they want their chowder shipped to Hawaii. And
all right, if we're shipping chowder, that's fine. But if you're shipping ahi-ahi, I don't want that.
I think you're mixing two fish there.
Do you have like a spasm?
Ahi, mahi mahi. Ahi is one.
Whatever it is.
Go to Turner's all the time.
Does it come with quinoa? Does it come with a quinoa? Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Quinoa.
Mm-hmm. My turn?
Yes.
Yay. Toxicology.
Toxicology, so that would be toxicology report. Mm-hmm. Somebody came back, must be a famous person. Oh, I know. Not Burnett, but what's her name?
Carrie Fisher.
Yes.
Carrie Fisher's mother. Or no.
No, Carrie Fisher.
Fisher.
Had, Carrie Fisher's mother's daughter.
Had cocaine.
Kim is going to be so mad at me.
Had cocaine, yes, heroin, and MDMA in
her
system.
That's the one that I found impressive. I was like, you're 60 and you're dropping Molly.
But they're not sure if it contributed to her death or not.
I was going
to
say.
Here's another. Let me just throw this out there. Guy yells Allahu Akbar and stabs somebody at the airport.
Terrorism.
That's terrorism. Mm-hmm. Cocaine, heroin, and MDMA in your system, and you're dead. Drugs probably contributed to that.
That's what I love is they're still trying to say, like, yeah, so she had all these drugs in her system, but it was all about the sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea. When?
That must be why she needed all the cocaine to combat.
That's one way of doing it.
I love Carrie Fisher, and
you
I do not mean to make fun.
Stay away.
She would appreciate
so I'm just
going to
do massive amounts
she would think
of
this
narcotics.
Is hilarious. Well, yeah, they it was one of those things where they kept releasing little bits and bits and bits. At first, it was like, sleep apnea and other undetermined factors led to her cardiac arrest. And then
typically
it was like,
those factors are.
Yeah, and then it was like, there were some drugs in there, but we're not really going to say which ones.
When will this epidemic of sleep apnea be stopped? How many more Americans need to die of sleep apnea before we end the tyranny?
We've got to get all these sleep apnea dealers
nap
off the corner.
Just
so that's what we need to
nap.
Do.
This is why you bring your CPAP machine on the airplane.
And don't have it laced with Molly.
That was just for the feel goods.
That's just,
that was just to make that blanket they give you extra super comfy.
Yeah,
and she made, she made no bones at all about her addiction. She talked about her addiction.
She's super open about
it. Mm-hmm. It's,
which is why this isn't like other people, this may be embarrassing. For her, she'd probably think this is pretty funny.
But you look at somebody.
I was doing E.
Yeah.
You look at somebody as aware as she was. It seemingly as in control of herself as she was.
Incredibly talented.
Who's just finished another Star Wars movie. Like, her career is back on a new high. And it's like, drugs.
That's the reality of it. Addiction takes over. And it doesn't matter how aware and what you think is in control, it takes over. And it always will take over until you get the treatment.
And even sometimes after. Like, you think about Harris Whittles, the writer for the guy who invented the word humble.
No, addiction absolutely is a struggle.
He was sober for a while
day.
And then just done. Mm-hmm. Your turn, D.
Karen Handel.
Karen Handel is a winner in Georgia. So Georgia's special election. So went up against 30-year-old John Ossoff, who we did not like. He was the Democratic dark horse. And
John Ossoff is the 30-year-old who didn't live in the district that Hollywood spent $25 million trying to get into the House of Representatives for a year and a half.
Well, that was money well spent.
Because it was a referendum. All day yesterday, if you were on CNN.com, it was referendum on the Trump campaign. Trump presidency in jeopardy. Democrats, could win this historic victory tonight. By noon today, all mention of the campaign had been scrubbed from CNN.com.
It's shameful to think how much money and how many millions of dollars were spent on this. This is one of the most expensive House races ever.
Dollars. Mm-hmm. 50
You think
million
that money could have been spent
dollars.
More wisely? Because Atlanta's in real good shape.
I would say cleaning up the bad parts of Atlanta.
Yeah. She came out on top just by a little bit. But, Republicans can stop refreshing Twitter and realize that they have other things to do. Don't worry, you won.
$50 million in a country where teachers are buying their own school supplies, where children go to bed hungry, where our infrastructure is falling down, we're spending $50 million $50 million on 18 months in the House of Representatives. Gloria Berger had this unbelievable stat on CNN last night. For every penny that was spent from the district, $10 came in from outside the district.
That's insane.
So this is a Democrat's plan. We're going to get some Yahoo that nobody's ever heard of, who it turns out isn't even from the district, doesn't even live in the district, and we're going to buy him the seat.
But he knows the people of Atlanta.
Can we get campaign finance reform now, please?
We've said it so many times.
Please.
Why should there be money coming from Colorado to special elections here in Massachusetts? Why should their money be coming out of Hollywood?
Do you think that
Hollywood,
they really have their best interest
Hollywood
in our...
threw a lot of money at this.
Hollywood's what? 2,000 miles? 2,500 miles
How
from Atlanta?
How many stars flew down to Atlanta and were doing rallies that were walking around the hoods in Atlanta and saying, vote for him? Like, who is this
and
guy?
And guess what?
I'm Didn't sorry, work. Did you not see Susan Sarandon? I'm kidding.
I hope this is the end of this. And if it's not the end of this,
but
then
hey,
we,
Don Cheadle was walking around with us. Like, come on.
Then we need Congress to take action. And the action that needs to be taken is no outside money in state elections. If you're from California, you can't put any money into an election in Georgia or Massachusetts.
You can put all the money you want into California elections.
Spend like a maniac.
But, yeah.
Spend like a maniac. All politics is local.
Well, that's the thing is it's so pompous because it's basically these bigwig rich people coming in and saying, we know what's best for you,
we
perfect strangers, whose lives we don't understand, whose struggle we don't understand, whose culture we don't understand.
But no, he was a man of the people, Shay.
I didn't like
he
it.
He was
really
a man
of
the people.
So that's how much it costs to become a man of the people? $15 million.
Yeah. I didn't like it when the Republicans did it for Scott Brown in 2010. I didn't like it when the Democrats did it for Elizabeth Warren in 2012. I haven't liked it
anywhere
at any time.
You know that name just gives me a visceral reaction.
There is no reason for someone who does not live
in
Massachusetts.
Against her politics. She just bugs me.
to spend any money on Massachusetts politics. And organizations like Emily's List need to be barred from interstate politics. You want to get involved in presidential elections? That's fine. That's a national campaign. No more getting involved with local elections. Mm-hmm. The country is set up and was designed in such a way that the people who live in a district elect their representative, who is one of their people, who shares their values, to go to Washington and represent their position. Not to have people from California trying to buy elections
You're
all
like,
over the country.
Hey, Atlanta, I know what's good for you.
Because they were idiots that backed Hillary.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Kendall. Derek's just seething because he knows this one.
I don't. You guys are always better.
Come on, Shay. All of your comedian friends had a status about it all day.
Kendall. I worked, man.
Derek.
Ken has been turned into a millennial hipster douche by the Mattel company. I think little girls.
Oh, God.
I think one of our mutual friends, Shay.
I just Googled it.
Actually,
oh, no.
Former co-host on this show. Brian Joyce, who is now down in Atlanta and Chattanooga on air, he had a status. Kendall has a man bun and no penis.
Yeah.
Which is
I think little girls are really going to be swooning over man bun Ken.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The one good thing I can say about this. The one good thing I can say about this is gay little boys finally have
a
toy of their own.
Perfect for gay little boys.
Because a couple of these are very obviously gay men.
Oh, you mean like the one with the pink tank top and the silver sunglasses?
Yeah, you know, there's never any earlier time to start teaching your kid how to act and dress like a D-bag than when they're kids.
Khaki board shorts and the blonde hair is a good candidate for a same-sex relationship as well. Ken has always been stupid.
Those are called jorts.
Ken has always been... No, those are board shorts. Aren't they?
I think they're jeans.
No. Man bun is wearing the jeans.
Oh, man buns and jeans.
Yeah, Blondie is wearing the checkered shirt and the board shorts.
Oh, gross.
You know what? I'm actually surprised they didn't do the... what's the mampers? The man rompers? what are they called?
No. We're not even going to talk about
wait,
that.
Wait, but what's going to happen to Barbie? How are we going to hipster-fy Barbie?
They already
Barbie
did.
Will always have a size 18 waist.
Barbie comes in different body shapes now, but they've turned Ken into a millennial hipster douche. And this is completely unacceptable. Little girls are not going to want this.
Well, and the whole point,
but they're so
dreamy. I mean, I know there's been so much
what's
debate.
What's dreamy about man bun guy over here?
Well, I know there's been so much debate, and which is largely true, about that, Barbie gives an unrealistic, and like you said, they have changed her body type. It now comes in many different body types. But at least speaking as a girl, as a woman who as a little girl was like obsessed with Barbies, they're not supposed to be totally true to life. It's supposed to be a somewhat like, I liked the Ken.
Don't tell the feminists and do not.
Well, I mean, even
you just ruffled some feathers.
Yeah, I did.
But Ken is supposed to be, is Barbie.
I'm saying Ken's supposed to be like a respectable dude.
He's a bro.
He's
a bro.
No, Ken's not a bro. Ken's never been a bro.
Ken is a gentleman that opens the convertible door. I understand. Yeah.
And just to calm down any feminist that's calling him right now, I'm talking about the way they're presented with their clothes, their hair, stuff like that. I'm not saying
Ken was
Barbie
never,
should actually have an 11-inch
waist. Whole brand was surrounded by this one doll, and you were able to change out clothes, and Ken was sort of an accessory.
Yeah, Ken literally was an accessory. And if having a dude be your accessory isn't empowering to women, I don't know.
Right, but Ken was supposed to be this...
You just rectified yourself.
Ken was supposed to be this, like, super masculine yet sensitive, handsome man.
He's man candy.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Ken was metrosexual.
He's the ideal dude.
Long before it was cool. This is like, oh, these are those twerp guys that you see smoking outside the bar.
Douchey.
That you walk by them and you're like, get a job, you bum.
Yeah.
This is what little girls have to aspire
to. His internet startup.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Blech. Okay.
You're up?
I am up. Let's see. Which one do I want to do?
Those Nerf guns again. I was
going to say, there's a police officer that's been on the force for less than 3 years. Trinity.
Like the Holy Trinity? Trinity.
Well,
Trinity.
That is what it's named after. I can do more if you don't know. Trinity College. How about that?
Okay. Trinity College.
Are there three of them?
No. There's only one. I mean, as far as I know.
I have no idea.
Oh, God. I heard one college story, and I
don't... This is from today, too, so...
Yeah, don't remember.
Trinity College in Connecticut is closed until further notice because of threats to the campus. They're stemming from an article posted on a professor's personal social media pages. The professor's a professor of sociology, and he's been at Trinity for over 20 years. But he shared a Medium.com article that was written on June 16th to his personal Facebook and Twitter pages. And the article, which was written by someone who goes by the name Son of Baldwin, it presented a perspective on the shooting that occurred at the congressional baseball practice last week. And it went on to explore like broader issues concerning race and like the relationship between victims of bigotry and bigots. And basically like culminated with a call to show complete indifference to the lives of bigots. Basically like bigot lives don't matter.
Doesn't he know that colleges are a safe zone and you can't use hate words?
Well, so the teacher...
To protect these poor little snowflakes.
So, like, the teacher, his sociology teacher, he teaches about race and racism. Even though he didn't write the article, he apparently, when he did share it, he included a hashtag that very obviously implied that he agreed with the sentiment in the article.
And the bigots showed up on campus with guns?
Well, that's the thing, is ever since then, it's resulted in public outrage, including threats to both the professor personally and the school as a whole. And earlier today, there was an initial alert from the school that said all campus buildings could only be accessed by ID. And then about 30 minutes later, the college sent out a notice being like, never mind, we're just closed. And now they're working with the FBI, they're working with the Hartford Police Detective Bureau to see how many of these threats are just like dumb teenagers being annoying or how many of them should actually be taken seriously. But the first summer session is supposed to start July 13th. And they said, like, they have to figure this out. They're going to try to. But, like, they sent a message to all the students on their website saying they'd figure it out. And then about half an hour later, the college's website went down. And it's been down ever since.
Nice.
People are trying to call on Trinity to fire this professor.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
I'll back that decision.
But they're saying it's a bit of a debate because it was his personal... It's not like he put it up on like his classroom's page. It was his personal page.
It doesn't matter.
Again, you are a teacher. You represent your company. And you have the email and sites that your students use, you have to understand you are always representing your company, especially in, if you're in a position where you are a professor. Yeah. If you want to do it, talk about the article at a bar that you're nowhere near school or with your friend.
Or but have a completely private...
You have to understand what...
Or have a completely private Facebook page that only is shared with people that you're not professionally associated with.
Ask the Navy how that works out. forget the you represent your company angle in this. This guy's a teacher. Do you really want somebody who believes that Americans should be shot for their beliefs? Yeah. Teaching students?
Sociology.
That's fair.
No.
Well, let me teach you about life.
Oh, no, and I'm not saying I don't agree. It's just what really struck me about this story was just how, you know, so many of us don't, and I know there's been countless examples of this, but so many of us don't really give a second thought to, like, oh, this article's cool. Share. Like, you don't think anything's going to happen, and now an entire college has been shut down based on one person sharing something they didn't even write.
People forget, it's Connecticut. That's gun country, kids. Oh, yeah. They got the guns down there.
Yeah, they're hiding them underneath their pearls and in the back of their Volvos.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited. I have one that you guys didn't know, though. I feel special.
Square One Mall.
Ooh, because I got stuck in this traffic on the way to dim sum.
I had the
really
helicopter hovering over my office all day.
Because I needed dumplings, stat after the gym.
Dumplings.
A man decided to... have some fun with some guns or try to get some weapons in the Square One Mall. It was shut down. This was on Monday morning, just in time for rush hour.
There's more to the story. It wasn't a man. It was a 15-year-old boy from Everett. smashed a window at Dick's Sporting Goods, and then managed to pry open the gun case far enough to get a long gun out and some ammo. At which point, SWAT teams from five communities showed up at the mall. 3 hours later, they left because they realized the man wasn't there anymore. Turns out, the kid just walked out of the place, walked up to the cops and was talking to them like, what's going on? And had the gun on his person when he did this.
What?
Because they later found the gun in the woods in back of the mall. SWAT teams from five communities failed to contain a 15-year-old with a gun.
I mean, that kid's the coolest kid at Everett High now.
If you drove by, even coming back on Route 1 North, going home, every single area of the mall was blocked off. And then the cops are, like, sleeping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? It's now,
it's just
what,
like,
11
he'll
o'clock?
Probably knock on our windows when he wants
but,
to be
but
arrested.
Not that anybody wants to go to the Square One Mall anyways.
But it's like Nemlek was defeated by a 15-year-old. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing this one didn't go up on the bulletin board in the locker room.
No. All right, last one from me. I'm going to give you Broken Heart. This came out on Monday.
Broken Heart.
This is a health story, isn't it?
It is.
I was just going to say.
This is all over the place on Monday.
God, you couldn't ask me about the olive oil, could you? Oh, God. Broken Hearts short your lifespan by 14 years?
No, it's an actual condition. It's a syndrome, and scientists have just discovered it caused longer-term damage to the heart muscle than previously thought, according to this new study from British Heart Foundation. The condition, which affects about 3,000 people in England every year, is known as broken heart syndrome, and it can be caused by severe emotional stress, such as grief experience after losing a loved one. Wow. So I'm going to die. The symptoms are similar to those of a heart attack.
I'm going to die when I'm like 35.
But until now, it has been thought the heart eventually can fully recover. Current findings suggest that the damage is, in fact, longer lasting and possibly even permanent.
Is the secret to recovery sex?
Isn't that always the...
I'm hoping.
Sex is a panacea.
That's always...
Because it's like, no, honey. I wasn't cheating with her. I'm saving her life. I'm saving her life.
She had a broken heart.
So
it's
sad.
An actual thing. Look it up
helping
on Google.
Her heart. I'm like just the human defibrillator.
I'm a hero, not a cheater.
Yeah. Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
That's in Wisconsin.
That's where the Brewers play.
That is where the Brewers play.
This happened today.
Milwaukee.
I can add a word if you like.
Yeah.
Okay. Milwaukee Police.
Oh, the former officer was acquitted in the shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's not Philando Castle.
Hagen
but,
Brown.
Bing, bing. Yeah.
And it was a civil.
Point
civil
for
Bill Smith. But yeah, he was found not guilty of first-degree reckless homicide today. And you could hear members of Smith's family crying in the courtroom, of course.
Are they planning rioting tonight?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, the shooting, when it originally happened, sparked days of unrest in Milwaukee with people rioting back when
Milwaukee,
it happened less than a year ago.
Home and cheese curds, the Packers.
Right? You always think of Wisconsin people as being like super subdued.
Injustice.
Like too stuffed from cheese.
Nobody likes Milwaukee in the summertime.
Well, ironically though, I don't know if ironically is the proper word, but he would have faced 6 years in prison if he was found guilty, but he's still facing charges in an unrelated sexual assault investigation, which is actually why he was fired from the police.
It's all about the sex.
So, yeah. So let's keep our fingers crossed that there's at least a little bit of justice served.
Uber.
Oh, Uber was sold, I think.
No.
Nope.
No. I know they're coming up with an in-app tip.
Nope.
Thing.
The executive.
That's, I mean, that's true.
The was it president, vice president? He stepped down.
Stepped
from
down.
His,
that's what it was.
And this is coming after weeks after there was a memo about sexual harassment for the women in the corporate offices at. I mean, amongst all the other bad things about Uber. But
yeah.
Hi. Sorry.
Yeah. Travis Kalanick's leave of absence has now become a permanent. Don't let the door
Peace
hit you
out,
in the
yeah.
ass on the way out. It could not have happened to a nicer guy based on the way things have been running with that company lately. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is the big picture. When we come back, the Supreme Court says, you can use all the racist and offensive language you want. So we're going to do just that here on WMFO Medford.
Graduation is a happy time, a time to think back over all the good work you've done. But it's also a time to consider your future. There's a bright future waiting for you as a member of the United States Air Force. The Air Force will give you valuable experience that just isn't available anywhere else, plus many other opportunities. So put your education to work. See your Air Force recruiter and look over the wide range of programs that are available to you right now. In the Air Force.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Menford, she is Shea Spillane. He is Derek Gary, and I'm Lisa Nichols here with you every Wednesday night, and we are The Big Picture. And you can call us at 855-915-9636. Derek, do you feel offended today?
I feel offended every day. I wake up, and I just start looking for reasons to be offended.
I think you do. Shea, do you feel offended today?
I'm like a 6.5.
All right. Well, yesterday, Supreme Court ruled that offensive trademarks are okay.
Oh, yeah.
This all has to do with the American Asian band called The Slants, who
whoa,
say...
Whoa. Ew. What is this language that I'm hearing all of a sudden?
The Slants. But they're Asian American, so they name themselves that.
They're taking it back.
That's what I was going to say.
Who said
like
that they wanted
I started
to
a band
reclaim,
called The Mix.
They wanted to reclaim the racial slur. So some people hear like slanted eyes, they automatically think racism. But back in 2011, the U.S. Trademark Office gave their application a denied stamp, saying that trademarks aren't allowed to disparage people. And yesterday, the Supremes disagreed.
Unanimously.
Yes, saying that the trademark law violates freedom of speech. Now, this decision could have the ripple effect for other high-profile cases.
Like a certain football
like
team, for
so
example.
Many of these that we have talked on the show, exactly one being specific, the Washington Redskins. Meanwhile, Supreme Court is already, we know, filling up its schedule. So is this something that we're going to be seeing? Could be.
I particularly like what Justice Samuel Alito had to say in the majority opinion of this. And I'm going to read you just a little tiny bit of this. Quote, if the federal registration, because the argument that was being made here by the Trademark and Patent Office was that if the government gives you a trademark, the government...
It's government speech.
It becomes government speech.
Yeah.
Okay? And the government is endorsing this. So to this, Mr. Alito responds, quote, if the federal registration of a trademark makes the mark government speech, the federal government is babbling prodigiously and incoherently.
I love this quote so much.
It is saying many unseemly things. It is expressing contradictory views. It is unashamedly endorsing a vast array of commercial products and services, and it is providing Delphic advice to the consuming public. Samuel Alito, buy that guy a beer.
I was going to say, I want to party with him. He's sounds fun.
Because basically, he's saying the argument you're making is that Coca-Cola is government speech. Ford is government speech. And it's like, no, it's not government speech.
Like trademark porn companies are government speech.
There is a difference between the government granting somebody legal recognition and protection under the law and government speech. And any reasonable person gets, Samuel Alito gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The slants get it. Dan Snyder gets it. Which is why the Washington Redskins will continue to be the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
And there is this argument that's going on that comes back here because in the Commonwealth, we have this bill that has been introduced by Barbara Letellier. She is a Democrat from Andover. That would make it illegal, that would ban Native American mascots for high school football teams. Mm-hmm. This bill was not sponsored by Barbara Letellier of Andover, but was filed at the request of concerned community members after Tewksbury decided they weren't going to change the name of the Red Men, who have been their high school teams.
And this has been an ongoing conversation for the past couple of years. Whether we're talking about, you know, intramural sports, high school, elementary, Pop Warner, into major, the NFL, major sports groups. And we've had this argument, Derek, before in talking about if it comes down to a situation where the Washington Redskins are forced to change its name, you ultimately, what you have is you have to figure out the loss. Well, I'm going to keep the name, but there's going to be no longer a trademark on it. So would it be less expensive or would you cut your losses if you ended up keeping the name, but any Joe on the street could make, you know, a printout of official Redskins, whatever, t-shirts and whatnot, or do you change the name?
This is where activist judges thought they were going to get the job done. And this is why we need the U.S. Supreme Court, because the belief was that when they denied trademark to the slants, obviously this impacted the Redskins. And the coverage around it immediately said, well, and the Redskins actually lost their trademark protection as well, which if you are an NFL team and you derive a portion of your income from merchandise sales, protecting the trademark of your team name, your logos, your colors, all the rest of that is paramount.
Well, and it's a question of, I totally agree. And it's a matter of, I think where things got a little skewed here, which, by the way, Section 2A of the Trademark Act, I was reading about it. It was from the Victorian era.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's when they wrote that. This is when women were wearing petticoats, people. But it basically...
That's because you want to make sure you get authentic Doc McKillicuddy's snake oil. Except no substitute.
But it becomes where things got a little muddled, and what the Supreme Court was pointing out by making this decision is the ability to trademark something isn't going to the government and saying, is this okay? Any individual or group of government officials' opinions on something, not a factor when it comes to trademarking.
Yeah.
It is literally, much like any other government service, just something that's there for the purpose of, this is the thing I want to do. It's very much like, for example, if you're a bartender, you don't believe in people drinking alcohol, but you're a bartender. Someone comes to you and orders a drink.
I can't
give
not
them one.
Serve alcohol.
Like, I can't serve alcohol.
It's the same thing with a pregnant person. I don't think that a pregnant woman should drink. It is against...
It's against the law for you to not serve her alcohol.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's where this comes in. Is
but let me just throw a little mud into the fan. It's understanding that I do agree wholeheartedly with the court's decision. And let's look at it as if tomorrow somebody wanted to trademark the N-word.
That was what I was thinking too.
So if somebody wanted to trademark that, and
or like feminazis,
or like call
the bleeding vaginas,
team,
whatever,
like the cotton something, pickers or something. Yeah. Does this mean that they get a pass?
Megan's bleeders. Someone might want to
exactly. Well, but I mean, this is what the First Amendment protects them, and it seems that, you know, this is a good facts case, but you have to use it in a situation like that. Say you have a manufacturer that wants to make a gun, and they want to call it the N-Killer. Well, now are they protected? This is where it gets...
But here's the thing, though.
Yes.
Our government is set up the way that our constitutional rights are set up. Yes, they are protected from being stopped from doing that. But our government also has other laws that say we're free to go protest whoever and whatever we want.
Absolutely. As long as it's peaceful. You take the chance of and understanding the sentiment from the slant and them saying we want to reclaim this, you know, bad name this remark.
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody, I guess when you have a situation like this and if it is being protected and you have a product like the N-Killer, you go, well, it's either going to go either way. People are going to be activists about it and go against it. And it's like I buy Apple products. If Apple was against something that I did, I would spend my money elsewhere. And same thing with anybody, any sort of consumer. They're going to spend their money elsewhere.
If Apple was called Hitler and made the same products, would you still buy it?
No.
I mean, okay. Look how, because you're not going to buy something with the word Hitler on it.
And that's a personal choice because this is America.
But
like,
and that's it. That's how the whole thing comes out even in the wash, and why you don't need the law. Because yes, somebody could go out and make like feminazi shotguns if they wanted to. Nobody's going to buy that.
Yeah,
there's going to be a handful of people who buy it. It's like the little dipsticks that are still running around in the Aaron Hernandez jerseys because they think it makes them look like gangbangers.
Yeah, basically, it's
real tough.
You have to get the trademark from the government so that society can shut you down.
Yeah.
It's not the government's job to say that's a stupid name or that's an offensive name or this, you're shooting yourself in the foot by making this product. It's society's job.
And I mean, Holmes said the First Amendment was an experiment, and obviously experiments can fail. It's interesting to see a case like this that seems pretty clear cut. And again, I do agree with it, but it runs on that fine line sometimes.
You don't want the government involved in these decisions, period.
And if someone comes out with a gun called the N-Killer, it's not going to be successful. There's going to be way more people angry about. And at the end of the day, it comes down to you can't. No one individual person or one individual even organization can decide what is or is not offensive because everything is relative. There are things that I find offensive that other people would not, even though I find like almost nothing offensive. But so on the flip side, there are things that other people find offensive that I do not, having nothing to do with a racial slur or things like that. But there's always going to be, no matter what it is, people are always going to be offended. And
we live in a
country where we're free to offend as many people as
we
like.
No, and I agree with you, Shay, and Derek, I agree with you in saying that you can't let the government do that. There's been so many times where we say, one, you don't let government make any lists. You don't give them any sort of power. We believe in small government and personal responsibility. And that's where that comes in. The personal responsibility of knowing not to buy a product or use these
sort of... It's called the Hitler.
The new Hitler computer.
But that's the truth.
Hitler.
The minute you give the government any sort of power with this, regardless...
It's got a touchscreen.
And I have to bring you the other side of it. Regardless if it is that kind of gray line, once government has power over it, who knows?
Then it's just the floodgates open.
18-hour battery life. You're buying the Hitler. The same rule needs to apply to these high school mascot names.
Well, it's just like I grew up in Quincy. We have the North Quincy Raiders, which hearing it out loud, you're like, oh, Raiders. Like that can mean tons of things. Google the North Quincy Raiders. It's the most offensive looking, offensive depiction of a Native American person you've ever seen.
I'm not saying that these schools should not be forced to clean up their image a little bit when it comes to this stuff.
Boo North Quincy.
But it's like, what do you do with the Winchester Sachems? Okay,
because Sauga Sachems?
The Sauga Sachems. Both of those towns have Sachems. Mm-hmm. And Squaw Sachem helped the Pilgrims freaking survive. You know, she is a revered figure in this state. Mm-hmm. There is nothing derogatory there. The word red men, or how is that on its face unless you want to apply...
Unless you use it derogatorily.
A historic racist context that kids today don't even know anymore to it. So could they be the orange men, the green men, the yellow men, the blue men?
The white men.
Can they be the brown men?
No, and that's why
derogatory to Hispanics if we call them the brown men?
But this lady from Andover that's trying to push this narrative in trying to get rid of the mascot that offends Native Americans. The only Native American that you know is by going to the casinos in Foxwoods and Mohegan.
Lady, you live in Andover.
I know some
Native Americans.
With the ladies.
And I have never had someone I know who is Native American, maybe because they don't feel comfortable with it, I've never heard any of them say to me, that mascot is racist, or I'm uncomfortable with what's going on over there. Yes, let's get rid of the cartoon Indians. Let's get rid of savages with tomahawks running around. Melrose took the dream catcher off of the Red Raiders logo. I think that's maybe going too far. You know, because it's, well, we're still the Red Raiders, but we're not Indians. We're the red, you know, the color is red and we're the Raiders. It just deal with it.
But it's also
calm
like,
down.
Don't, yeah, like everyone just needs to chill out and stop being so offended. Have you taken a look at the Boston Celtics mascot? Have you ever seen that picture? It's a little leprechaun with a beer gut. Yeah, Lucky the Leprechaun. It's a leprechaun
Lucky's
with a
quite
beer
agile.
Gut. Like, that, I could be like, oh, that's offensive to Irish people because it implies that we're alcoholics and because
it's not as offensive as that Notre Dame fighting Irish.
No, we have a platform like
the internet. That was going to be my next point.
Where anybody can go online and start crying about whatever, and it makes it seem just because you get 200 retweets, it doesn't mean that you have millions of people supporting you.
Government,
you are the screaming children.
Government, get away from our mascots. I'm going to launch a computer brand called Hitler. 855-915-9636. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week here on WMFO Medford. Welcome to summer.
It's summer, so you can see my nipples. Yes, it's summer. Nip, nip, nipples. It's summer. Na-na. Knockers, na 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 na, knockers, na 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 na.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know, I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford, and it's time for What's Hot, Our Favorite Thing. From this week, two very important food-related things. You know, one of my favorite foods, poutine.
Yum, 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 yum.
Super close to us. Two reasons to go to New Hampshire this weekend. One, go get your fireworks. I mean, they're legal here in Massachusetts. Don't get them. Just hide them.
Get them and then stay in New Hampshire.
We'll discuss that next week.
We don't encourage law breaking.
And, yeah, Derek's a really, really sore subject. There is the New Hampshire Poutine Festival on Saturday, which I'm hoping to attend. And you can go to NewHampshirePoutineFest.com, and it is at the newly upgraded Southeast Delta Dental Stadium in Manchester. Really great ticket price. Gets you all the poutine you can eat. There's 15 different restaurants coming in.
Dangerous.
I'm like... I love bursting with excitement.
Here's some advice.
They have alcohol there.
Here's some advice for the all-you-can-eat poutine. Get there early so that you can be the first in the line for the bathroom. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. They're doing a couple eating competitions, too, which I would probably think about doing because I might win. Also, if you are a fan of Black Ox in Lynn, which is a amazing, amazing restaurant, they just opened. It just opened on Monday, and I can't wait to check it out. My best friend is one of the lead bartenders there. It's called The Ledger. It's in downtown Salem. It is really something that I believe Salem needs. Farm to table, amazing craft cocktails. Get the carrot gin drink. It's one of Christie's specialties.
Nice.
I am always trying to scout out a good, nice summer outdoor venue for some Sunday fun day good times. And actually, a little plug for my new cousin-in-law who got married this past weekend.
I saw pictures. You looked really, really nice.
Oh, thank you. My dress ripped. I'm suing the seamstress. Or actually, I'm just going to go in and be like, give me my $75 back. Anyways, but his band, Legends of Summer, excellent, excellent band, all great people and super talented, has gotten the residency at the Barking Crab in South Boston.
Wow.
For every Sunday, 12 to 4. I've been once so far. I don't
go for the food, just go for the band.
Don't
eat the seafood. No.
Are you kidding?
No. The best thing on the menu is their beer.
Their lobster roll, I think it's called a naked lobster roll, is something otherworldly.
I know. They're so overpriced and crap.
Hey, I'm trying to promote here.
You
can promote the band.
But the band's excellent. I don't know if they'll be there this Sunday because he is on his honeymoon, so I don't know if he'll be back in time. But every Sunday this summer from 12 to 4, check them out. They're awesome. It's a dance, super fun time explosion right on the water. It's fantastic.
Great venue. Yeah. If you want really, really, really good seafood, Turner's, Melrose, and Salem, it's Crab Fest. The King Crab is back. Melrose has got grilled King Crab, which I'm not a fan of. Do not really care for that. But they've also got a Haddock Imperial stuffed with crab.
I got that.
That is to die for. Salem has got
different menu.
Your steamed crab legs.
Dang it. Now I'm going to go to tavern and get food.
We're to die for on Saturday. They've also got a mixed crab plate, including Dungeness. And the Dungeness does not show up here on this coast very often.
May I ask a question?
Yeah, I was going to say that's rough to get
Where
here.
Where was my invite?
What I was actually...
Yeah, what gives, D?
I was out with other people, if you must know.
Oh, you know other people?
So, I know other people.
Yeah,
I figured you'd get there on your own anyway. Anyway, Turner's, they're in Salem at Lyceum Hall. They're on Main Street in Melrose. Go get yourself some crab. Trust me. If you've never had king crab before, you're going to like it more than lobster.
King crab.
If you've had crab before at other seafood restaurants, I could mention... The crab at Turner's is better. It is so much better.
Yeah, they use the red king crab, which is never frozen.
It
can definitely taste different.
Fresh and delicious, and oh my God, go get some.
That's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week. In a story that something I would probably do, an argument with his mother over a cheeseburger resulted in arrest Monday night of a Florida man on domestic battery charge.
Of course, it's Florida.
Cops allege that Noah Sullivan Lincoln, 19, quarreled with his 57-year-old mother in the kitchen of the family's St. Petersburg home. During the dispute, Sullivan Lincoln, quote, spat on the face of the victim as they were arguing over a cheeseburger, end quote. Sullivan Lincoln, an arrest affidavit charges, quote, smacked the cheeseburger out of the victim's hand, in which he, in the process, he struck the arm and the hand of the victim. After being read his rights, Sullivan Lincoln reportedly confessed to the attack. Charged with domestic battery misdemeanor, Sullivan Lincoln was booked in county jail, where he spent a day and a half in custody before being released Tuesday afternoon on his own recognizance.
That better have been one heck of a cheeseburger. My goodness. Well, in other people doing weird stuff news, according to police, a menage a trois inside a Park Slope, Brooklyn apartment took a horrific turn early Monday when one of the participants died after being stabbed and beaten with bats. The threesome, which was between the 20-year-old male victim and another man and woman, ended after the victim began filming the sex act, upsetting the female involved. The other man involved took the woman back to her home in Staten Island, leaving the victim in the apartment. And the woman then allegedly contacted a man who went to the Brooklyn apartment with two friends armed with knives and bats. They were captured on surveillance video chasing the victim as he tried to exit the building. The victim was found by police lying in the lobby of the building around 4 a.m. Monday morning with a stab wound to his chest and severe trauma all over his body. He was then rushed to Methodist Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. And this is the really messed up part. It's all messed up. Shortly before, the victim was bleeding out from stab wounds in the building's lobby and desperately knocking on neighbors' doors for help. His girlfriend, who was not involved in the threesome, received a threatening online message saying, "Your boyfriend expletived it up and will be taken care of." And don't know how this is possible, but no arrests have been made thus far.
Of course not.
But you think at least the girl, like, there, she had to have been identified, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, what is that, accessory, or is inspiring someone to kill someone with a bat?
That's a good question. Florida. Concerned that one of his neighbors was stealing his mail, neighbors he described as, quote, the drug dealer across the street, end quote, the house of prostitution next door, end quote. 63-year-old Nicholas Dibble came up with what he thought was the perfect plan to catch the culprit, putting a mousetrap in the mailbox and raising the red flag. This plan might have worked if he had told the post office, but he didn't. So he snagged letter carrier Cynthia Humphreys Smith, who had just returned to work after suffering a broken hand.
Oh.
She sympathized with Dibble's plight, so she refused to press charges, but the local postmaster was not moved and suspended mail delivery to Dibble's address. Dibble, who is disabled, now says that he's the victim because he cannot get to the post office to get his mail.
Oops.
Might want to think about that before you put the mousetrap in the mailbox.
Yeah.
It is now officially summer, kids. Happy summer.
Summer indeed.
Enjoy your summer. We have solsticed, and now the days start getting shorter. Thank God for that. Maybe the temperature will go down around here.
Famous last words of the beginning.
Yeah,
of summer.
No, temperature ain't going down around here for another 3 months. That's what we got. And that is about all the show that we've got for this week. On the Town, Mikey D is coming up next. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. We will be back next week. I promise no more of these
hiatuses.
Massive hiatuses. We will be here the day after the Independence Day and all that sort of stuff.